At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back to Travoltine Presents Easy Riders, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore,
covering the rebuild era.
Fuck.
Enjoy the episode. My God. Why would you do that? Why did you fucking...
Because I wanted to. Every time
you know, I turn your mic off whenever I record the intros, right?
I know.
So the audience is just going to hear the wah, wah, like very, very.
Whenever we get to that part in our theme where I say, wah, 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 I always want to do that.
Well, you did.
Yeah, and I fucked up the intro, didn't I?
You know what? I'm not restarting it, though.
Yeah, we're keeping it in.
We're keeping it in.
Keep it in and double it.
Keep it in, double it.
Yeah.
Double it. Give it to the next guy.
Yeah. Welcome back, folks.
To the rebuild.
Yeah, to the rebuild.
I'm sorry.
We're calling it the rebuild.
We're sticking with it, though.
Yeah,
Stuart and I decided on the fucking rebuild.
We're calling it the rebuild. Stuart and I decided on the name of this episode approximately 40 seconds ago.
Oh, my.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
We decided on the name of this episode about 40 seconds ago, and then we just started, and then we pressed the record button.
The laziest, sloppiest.
It's the sweatiest title we've done yet.
Because, like, starts and stops was like, well, she doesn't really start and stop and start again. She more or less, like, has a stop and then slow rebuild. So I guess we call it the rebuild era. I want to do the reconstruction era.
Yeah, I said, let's not say we did.
Jeff was against that idea for reasons. Yes. And so we decided to do the rebuild.
What's sweatier? Career retrospective, the rebuild, or Travolta, a very Travolta Christmas 3 Holiday Night Fever featuring the Shepherd.
That's pretty sweaty. That's at least like accurate.
Yeah, it is Holiday Night Fever.
Can we even call this like a rebuild?
I think it's a rebuild. Because she starts at ground level. She starts at ground zero.
With fucking lost souls?
No, with not working for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
And then has to, like, and then it's just like starting at the very base kind of movie, working her way back up to something like... To Turks and Caicos is actually kind of a good ending to that era, because she was asked to be in that movie as like a highly respected actor or respected actress.
Yeah. By a highly regarded writer with a highly regarded cast.
And so it kind of feels correct to me that that's kind of the end point. The real reason this is the end point is because this is the delineating mark between pre and post Stranger Things season one.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of what brings her really back into public consciousness. Does she win the Emmy for it? I can't remember.
Let me just look it up real quick. Nominated for 2 Oscars.
Yes, nominated for 2 Oscars.
I'm on the IMDb awards page.
I'm on the Wikipedia awards page. So top of that.
Oh, fuck off then. Okay. Why does it not have Emmys up here? Screen Actors Guild Awards. She's won a lot of screen or nominated. Or she's won. Yeah, no, she's not won. She's been nominated for Best Performance by a Female Actor, Screen Actors Guild. And then she won Performance as an Ensemble.
Yeah.
Ensemble. That's a key word there, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, when Stranger Things gets nominated for 18 Emmys and snubs Winona for the first season. She gets nominated for the Golden Globe, but not the Emmy for the first season.
Wow.
But regardless, the first season of Stranger Things is like what pushes her back in a major way into public consciousness. Would you agree?
I absolutely would agree. I think that's when people, very much in the same vein of John Travolta and Pulp Fiction. Yeah. It's like John Travolta comes back in Pulp Fiction, right?
Yes.
And people ask that question. Or no, that's not as good of an example. Brendan Fraser in
The Whale.
No, it's a TV
show.
Doom Patrol. When Fraser pops up in Doom Patrol and you see his name in the credits, you're like, oh my God, where's he been?
Yeah.
And I think that's what Stranger Things is like for Winona.
I disagree in the sense that I think like the first season of Stranger Things, she's kind of the lead character. She falls more into like
supporting
in the later seasons. But I really feel like that first season is so focused on her arc.
But her best season is season 3.
That's the one with the mall, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the mall. But you haven't seen it.
I've seen the third one. I've seen the first 3 seasons.
All the way through?
Yes. And then I watched one episode of the fourth season. I couldn't do it.
I think season 3 is Winona's best season on the show.
What happens during that season?
It's basically like her and Hopper team up.
Okay.
And it's just her and Hopper like joinks, jinkies.
Well, the thing about the second and third season,
that really is like the Scooby-Doo gang. In the third season.
The thing I always felt like with the second and third season of that show was that Winona, because like her storyline, the first thing strange thing is her son gets sucked into an alternate dimension inside of her house. It's kind of like a Stephen King-esque storyline. And the emotional like narrative of that show is her trying to get her son back and reuniting with him at the end.
Yes.
Which is very affecting. She's great in it. But then once Will is back at the end of the season, I really do feel like the show doesn't really know what to do with her. It's kind of like, well, she teams up with Hopper and they're going to solve mysteries. And it's like, yeah, that's fun. That's like good stuff for her. But she's more relegated to the supporting like sphere of the show, which becomes much more about the kids. Whereas I feel like in the first season, it's like the kids and her kind of have equal importance in the narrative.
Yeah.
But looping back to why we're talking about this is I feel like Winona occupies such an important role in that first season of Stranger Things, and when that, you know, that first season becomes a phenomenon, she's the thing people are talking about out of it.
Yeah.
People are talking about her and then Justice for Barb, but like who gives a shit?
Justice for Barb.
Barb deserved it, and I'm glad she's dead.
Yo!
No, that's not true.
Ouch.
But like people are talking about Winona in the same way that I feel like, comparably, like people are talking about Travolta when he comes back. Like, whoa, where was this for 20 years?
Yeah.
This guy's been missing, like, oh my God. Or like Fraser in The Whale, where people are just like, oh my God, well, I didn't know he had this in him. Like people are like, Winona, it's great to see her like give a performance like this.
And
I feel like we haven't seen her since her arrest.
Yeah.
It occupies that same space where even though these people are all working, this is the thing that brings them back into the public consciousness. And as people being like, whatever happened to them? That's great to have them back. I feel like people are happy to have them back.
Because she has, I think what you said is fairly accurate, that she does play like a very like crucial lead role in that first season. That it's really like her and then Finn Wolfhard, Millie Bobby Brown, Hopper, like David.
Like David Harper.
Harper.
It's an ensemble show.
It is definitely an ensemble show, but I'd say season one was a lot more like pockets of people doing their own things. Well,
and like,
on an
emotional level, when you're watching the first season, like, you know, obviously a story is about like giving you something you want and then like teasing you along for that in many respects. In that first season, the thing you want is for her to be reunited with her son.
Yeah.
That is the main like thing you are emotionally invested in that season.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And so when it happens at the end, it's very satisfying. And like Winona is kind of the emotional center of the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the reason why I'm very interested in making this like the delineation point for Winona in this career is that when John Travolta is in essentially like nothing movies for 10 years, he's in Pulp Fiction, big hit. And suddenly, right after Pulp Fiction, he is Get Shorty, Broken Arrow, Phenomenon, Michael, She's So Lovely, Face Off, Mad City, Primary Colors, Welcome to Hollywood, like The Thin Red Line. Immediately, he's just in movies again.
Yeah.
He's in big movies again, playing with big directors, very well like regarded run in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Fraser, he is in nothing movies for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's in The Whale. Suddenly, right after The Whale. Curse of the Flower Moon, Scorsese. Brothers, big comedy that's coming out this year. Rental Family, he's leading a movie by the guy who did the show Beef.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure, he's playing Dwight D. Eisenhower in a World War II drama. Like, it seems like for Fraser and Travolta, it's immediate. The second Hollywood is like, they're back.
They're back.
They're back. Movie. Lead role. You're playing a president. You're in this movie with Terrence Malick. You're doing this Barry Sonnenfeld comedy.
Yeah.
And it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
With Winona, she comes back in Stranger Things. She gets a very well-regarded, like, where has she been? We're all excited to have her back moment.
Can I've been thinking about this for a while, because this has been, like, the precipice of our show.
Yeah.
Is Winona's lack of a theatrical comeback than our other previous two seasons. I think it might have something to do with the fact that her comeback is through TV.
Yes.
I mean that in multiple ways. One of the ways is it's TV.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is 2016 we're talking about. 2015, 2016 is when season one drops.
Yeah.
TV is starting to shift into becoming more of a streamer's world.
Yes.
But I would say it's like Stranger Things is one of the earlier hit shows. It's like, this is like where you have Netflix, and I think Hulu is around, but it's not as big
as
Hulu's
around, but it's just like where you can watch TV shows that have already aired on network.
Exactly. And Disney Plus doesn't exist yet. I think it back when they called it HBO Max.
Yeah. No, back then it was just HBO
Now or HBO Go. Yeah,
there were three separate apps.
That's right. There was HBO Now, there was HBO Go.
And I know we like to rag on Max because it is dumb as fuck.
It's very dumb.
But it is better than having three different HBO apps and never knowing which one to go to.
Yeah. So this is still like pretty early in the streaming world. And I think like we're at this weird precipice time where like streaming hasn't quite exploded yet.
Yes.
No, I'm going to bring up a quick little thing. The Bear.
Yeah.
So this is a movie. This is a TV show where you have these actors who get on the show and they explode in popularity. Yes. Now, there's a few caveats to that. Jeremy Allen White had Shameless. Then he was in The Iron Claw, like somewhere halfway through like season one and two. But still, like now he's
everybody
like,
from The Bear is exploding.
Now. Everybody from There is exploding. That's TV.
Yes.
Stranger Things is TV.
Yeah.
But I think the timing is why it may have like lagged a little bit in Winona's theatrical release. Because, and this gets to my second point, is it's TV. And there's going to be multiple seasons.
And it takes a long time to shoot.
And I don't know like what the contract stipulations are for Winona and for the rest of the cast.
Well,
is it no surprise that like Beetlejuice came out while they're in this humongous gap between season four and season five? The same time period where not only is she's able to do Beetlejuice, she also did Haunted Mansion. And
she's barely in Haunted Mansion,
but like you get what I'm saying, right? It's season one and two came out fairly quickly after each other, right? Pretty sure that's the case. That season one came out in, season one came out in 2016. Yes, in 2016. And then, yeah, July 15, 2016 is when the first season drops. Season two, October 27th, 2017. So just a little over a year later. Season three, 2019. So now we're talking 2 years later. Season four, 2022. So 3 years later. And that was 2022, and we still don't have a season five. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little over 2 years right now. They haven't even dropped a trailer for season five. I think they're still filming it.
I think almost the entire run of The Bear will have occurred in between seasons of Stranger Things, which is crazy.
Isn't that kind of wild?
The Bear is like the only show, and God bless them, they're the only show that's like actually upholding, like, when you make a TV show, you put out a season every year. That's like how it was run for a long time.
Yeah.
But to go back to your point, I had this, it's funny, we were both thinking about the exact same thing. Because I had the same thought where I was like, is it in it kind of just because Winona is locked into Stranger Things? Is that the reason why she doesn't?
That maybe she had to turn down a few immediate offers because she's tied into that second season of Stranger Things.
Well, here's what I think that. But then I think about, because I was thinking about this last night. And then I thought about the rest of the cast of Stranger Things, the lead cast.
Millie Bobby Brown and David Harbour.
Millie Bobby Brown. Off of Stranger Things season one, she's in two Godzilla movies, in essentially the lead role. She does two Enola Holmes movies, and several other Netflix like direct-to-video movies.
Yeah,
now they're Netflix things. Netflix is trying to like make her their thing. So like, I don't want to use her fully as the example, but like, she has a lot of stuff, a lot of high-profile stuff.
Oh, it makes sense though.
Finn Wolfhard. During Stranger Things, he's in two It movies. Two Ghostbusters movies, all of those in a lead role.
He's
in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. He's in Saturday Night, which I saw last night, is a great movie. But like he's working, he's in big high profile projects.
So I found something about Millie Bobby Brown, but I'm looking up this for Finn Wolfhard,
David Harbour. Right after Stranger Things, he plays Hellboy. Now that movie's terrible, but he plays Hellboy. He's in two Marvel movies. He's in Extraction. He does No Sudden Move, a movie we talked about on the show. He plays Violent Night, where he's leading a Santa. He's in Gran Turismo. All these big movies. He's even in Suicide Squad.
Can I point something out?
Yeah.
Though, out of all these three actors you just mentioned, so Millie Bobby Brown. She's in a single episode of Grey's Anatomy in 2015. And then season one of Stranger Things drops in 2016.
Yeah.
And then 2017 season two. And then I just said 2019 for season three.
Yeah.
Then 2019, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I don't think it's an accident that some of those movies that you might be pointing out are happening in the gap years between season two and three and the gap years between season four and still not having a season five. Finn Wolfhard, same thing. Although his is a little bit more, even more understandable. So yeah, like he does a music video in 2016, a music video in 2017, It in 2017. So maybe he does that right in between, but then he does another music video 2018, music video 2018, Dog Days 2018, which I haven't seen it. Maybe that's good. Single episode of a TV show in 2018, music video, music video, TV short, music video, It Chapter 2 in 2019, again in the gap years. Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying, so
like these are the gap, like yes, the gap years, but Winona has those gap years.
But as you just said though, Jeff,
yeah,
she's a lead in season one. She is definitely not the lead in the last other seasons. Winona's popularity in season one is a quick flash, like in a pan, and then it goes away. And because, and I think this might be, this is all speculation. But like those calls came to her right away.
Yeah.
But she had to turn them down because they're filming season two literally next year. And then season two comes out. What's Winona Ryder's role? Not that much.
Yeah.
What's season three role of Winona? I think one a really good role, but still like it's a two. Yeah. Her storyline is a two-hander with her and David Harbour.
Yes.
And then season four, I think it's even less. It's even very much less.
But I think that all that being said, which is all true, it still kind of speaks to what I think is the central issue here.
Yes.
Is that
Hollywood sexism?
Is that she is an older woman?
Yes.
Compared to a young woman. A young guy,
and then an older guy.
Like a slightly older guy who's like seemingly hot in the moment. And even with that disadvantage of not being able to film anything in the first gap year, what role does she get right off of Stranger Things? She gets to be the lead. She gets to be in a rom-com with Keanu Reeves where they're basically sitting in a car for the whole movie.
Yeah. Then Gone in the Night.
And then she, three years later.
3 years later. Yeah, because Gone in the Night's like what?
I think it's 2021, maybe 2022.
2022.
Yeah, 4 years later, she gets the lead role in a streaming drama. And then she gets to cameo in Haunted Mansion.
The plot against America, 6 episodes. What the fuck?
Yeah, she gets to do, she gets to be in like a limited series called The Plot Against America.
The alternate history in which Franklin D. Roosevelt was defeated in the U.S. presidential election of 1940 by Charles Lindbergh. Oh, it's another one of those like alternate history TV show things.
She gets to be in a few limited series that don't really do anything for her career.
Right. Like I've never heard of Plot Against America.
And so I think it really just is the question of like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Why do Travolta and Fraser get their comeback and then get to be in everything?
So far.
So far. Now, obviously, Travolta collapses again.
Right.
Like 5, 10 years later.
But he got 2 chances.
Got 2 chances. Fraser is getting to be in a lot of things. We'll see if they're good. The next 3 movies could be duds. Listen, and then he's done.
I've said this multiple times that like I love The Whale, but I don't deny that it could be a flash in the pan for Fraser.
But it seems like as of right now, Hollywood is
giving him the chance
to prove it. Why didn't Winona get that same chance? Is basically my point.
Yeah. We can hit this on its head all day.
Yeah.
I think, but all ultimately it's like, I don't know. I want to try to be like a little bit more optimistic in the sense, like, was there an alternate reality where if Winona was like very, very, listen, she's always been very smart about her career.
Yes.
I can just see it being like, I'm getting a lot of like accolades and praises for the show that I'm hopping on. It's a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's a good show. I get to work with a great cast. Like I'd be interested to hear what the social dynamic on set is like.
Yeah.
Be very interested to know that. Cause I know that plays a factor into actors' decisions too. It's like, if they like the people they work with and they want to go back. So to that whole point, it's like, I'm getting all these offers to be in movies right away that I have to say no to because I'm, A, by contract, I need to come back for season 2 and that's going to conflict with it. But B, I liked my role in season 1 and I want to keep, like, if that's going to maybe get me more better offers in the future, if I keep on the show, I'm going to do that. And then fast forward to season 2, Winona's popularity goes down and it's mostly a Millie Bobby Brown with Finn Wolfhard season and then so on and so forth. And then it's like, oh, well, you were big in the first season and now you're not that big anymore. So maybe you'll be in the Beetlejuice sequel in a few years. Like,
because the thing that I just kind of think is when Travolta, you know, and Fraser got their comeback movies right out of the gate, there are the, like, it's not like any of these movies that they're in right after were written for them.
Right.
It's not like Broken Arrow was written for Travolta. Fraser didn't have this Dwight D. Eisenhower movie written for him.
Right.
These were movies that were already going to be made and these guys are hot now. Let's slot them in.
Yeah.
I think that like kind of the inherent issue is Winona gets like this opportunity where people, she's in the conversation again.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any roles in big movies for like a 40 something year old woman?
No.
And I just don't think that there were.
No, they're not. And I will say like, so.
Where, because she in even in Stranger Things, she is just playing the mom. Like it's a very good role. Don't get me wrong. But she is playing the mom, and it's like, I think the only roles that really exist. I mean, Destination Wedding is like a low key miracle that she's playing like a lead in a rom com.
I was gonna say, like, listen, next week we're gonna talk about Experimenter. Last week we talked about Turks and Caicos. Like all this stuff about like Winona getting old. Like she
looks great.
She looks great for her age.
Yeah, like, she looks incredible.
I think she's like, I'll say it, she's still a babe.
Yeah,
like she's attractive, beautiful. And. So like it's just weird to me that's like I don't know. It's,
and I like I'm not trying to exclusively chalk this all to sexism, though it obviously is a major part of it.
Of course, yeah. No, that's unquestionable.
Mm.
I just wonder it's like what alternate reality do you, I don't know, is she able to like, I don't know, propel herself through the coattails of season 1 to get more theatrical?
Because I'll be frank, like Destination Wedding, which we will talk about, does feel like the beginning of a movie comeback type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, we're going to put her and Keanu back together in a rom-com.
And then the movie's kind of lukewarm and then, no, with critics.
Not even that. But yeah. like, even if it's lukewarm, whatever, but then just like, there's no follow-up. It's like, that's the one thing where they're like, we're going to put her and Keanu back together and it's going to like start the next wave of her film career. And then she's not in a movie for 4 years.
Yeah. But then she's in Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about.
Which we'll talk about down the line and like whether that could lead to things or not.
I am going to say this for the audience right now. We've already seen it.
Yeah, we've seen Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
We've seen Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And
I've seen it twice. I'm going to have to see it a third time by the time we do the episode.
I've only seen it once, and I've only seen it once for the purpose that I know I'm going to have to watch it again yeah. before we actually cover it on the show. But and without getting too much into it, because we're going to have an episode on it, but like you and I walked out with two different
yeah.
opinions on that movie.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Take that for what you yeah. will. I think we can say outright that it wasn't like a smash, oh my God, she's fucking back kind of movie. But you'll remember, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, that I said this multiple times episodes ago, that yeah. even if it's a good movie, it's not going to be her smash hit yes. comeback.
It's not like she's the thing that people are going to talk about coming out of that movie.
Right.
But you are curious, combining that with Stranger Things being done, like she's done her work on Stranger Things now.
Yeah.
Like what will the next stage be?
Well, season 5 will be the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, right? They've said that multiple
Stranger
times.
Earth things.
Stranger Earth. The strangest things.
Yeah.
You're right. Like she is going to have to start thinking about just purely financially wise what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, like this I do have something I can say off mic. That I can't say right now. But The thing that's like, yeah.
Say something off mic.
But just looking back at this era where we're at right now, because we kind of just talked about the next era a little bit.
Yes.
I do want to bring us back to like.
Let's do that.
I want to bring us back to like the area we're recapping.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Let's do that. So we're right after Mr. Deeds.
Yes. It's the hardest, deceitful above all things, the best movie ever made.
It's a movie
to Turks
that
and
should
Turks and Caicos.
Should be burned at the
you know
burned
Stuart
2002 Stuart. To 2014 this is a 12-year period
Stuart
yes
I'm realizing I kind of fucked up kind of fucked up Experimenter comes out before the first season of Stranger Things.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
I kind of fucked this up.
Okay, so then we're just going to have to include...
We'll include Experimenter.
We'll include Experimenter.
I'll flip that on the list. We'll include Experimenter. So thankfully, we've already seen it.
So last week, you've heard the Experimenter.
No, last week, you heard us talk about Brothers, the Brendan Fraser movie.
Right. And then you'll have heard Experimenter and then this episode.
Yes. Or wait, should we do this and then Brothers?
I think
this
should,
feels like a clean end, right?
This should this be... And then Brothers. We should do this then Brothers.
So last week, you heard us talk about Experimenter. This week you heard us talk about this. We'll talk again next week. All right
so from 2002 to 2015
yes,
13
through Experimenter
13 year period we start with The Heart Is Deceitful Above All Things, the
end with Experimenter,
end with Experimenters. We also then get the Darwin Awards, A Scanner yes. Darkly, The 10, Sex and Death 101, The Last Word, The Informers, The Private Lives of Pippa Lee, otherwise known as When Joe Biden Dropped Out.
Yeah, When Joe Biden Dropped Out of the Election.
Stay Cool, Star Trek, When Love Is Not Enough, Black Swan, The Dilemma, Frankenweenie, The Letter, The Iceman, Homefront, Turks and Caicos, The Experimenter. Reading through that, it's not as bad of an era.
There's like a solid on-base hit every few movies.
Like, because right? like Heart Is Deceitful, Darwin Awards, bad.
Bad.
Bad. Scanner Darkly, good.
Good.
The 10?
Kind of good.
I was going to say like it has
Stuart,
its funny bits.
Stuart, he was just goofing.
He's just goofing.
He's just goofing. He did a goof.
Hey, like, and I would also love to have sex with you in jail.
Yeah.
Without your consent, of course.
Yes.
The 10 has got its bits for...
Stuart, have you heard that, like, basically that the plot of Joker 2 is basically just that segment from The 10?
No way.
Yes.
I love that.
He got, like, spoiler for Joker Folie à Deux or whatever the fuck it's called. But I've heard that the Joker gets sexually assaulted in prison in the movie, which is such an insane thing to say.
Wow. Speaking of speaking of morbid sex, Sex and Death 101. Yes. I might even say
bad.
There were some moments. It has its moments.
The last word. Bad. Whatever that was about.
That was about the suicide letter.
Yes.
Yeah.
The informers.
Bad.
The private lives of Pippa Lee.
Don't remember because Joe Biden.
Yeah, we were
out.
Too busy talking about Joe Biden.
Stay cool. Really bad.
Yeah, bad, but a little
almost,
funny.
Almost neck. What?
It was a little funny.
That's, no. It was funny to talk about, but it was a bad. It was funny to talk about.
It was funny to talk about. It was a little funny.
Oh my God. Shut up.
Star Trek.
Good. When Love Is Not Enough.
All right.
All right. Black Swan. Great. The Dilemma.
All right.
Oh, all right. Frankenweenie.
All right.
All right. The Letter. Bad.
Worst thing I've ever talked about. No.
The Iceman. Yeah, it's all right.
It's fine.
Homefront. It's all right. Yeah. Turks and Caicos. An all right time.
Yeah, well, good time. Experimenter. I really liked it. I liked it quite a lot.
I thought it was pretty okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty
okay. I'd
give it like a 6 out of 10.
A 6 out of 10.
Bordering 7.
I'd maybe give it a 7.
A gentleman 6.
It's like a gentleman 7 to me.
It's right? A good 6. A good 6.
It looked nice.
It looked nice.
Fun camera ideas in it.
Yeah.
Even though it kind of just looked like a Netflix thing. But
it looked like a what?
It looked like a Netflix thing. But it looked nice.
It looked like a Netflix film.
Yes. It had like the stock. We talked about this. It had like the stock Netflix look to it, kind of.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
It looked like good enough to like get past that.
Sure.
But I liked Experimenter a lot.
So like you'll notice that there's a lot of, there's a few good, and then there's a few bad. So it's like all things considered, let me just look over at Travolta's era. Let's look at the Travolta exploitation era.
Yes.
I mean, we did say the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 should actually belong in the.
Yeah, we fucked that one
in
up
the
too.
Second era.
I fucked that one up too.
So Old Dogs, meh. From Paris with Love, meh. The Wickedly Talented Adele Dazeem. Savages, not terrible. Killing Season, meh. Forger, meh. Life on the Line, the best movie ever.
Yes,
but in a bad way. Criminal Activity is actually bad. In a Valley of Violence, meh. I Am Wrath, bad. 3 to Tango music video, pretty good. Gotti.
3 to Tango music video, pretty good.
Gotti. Speed Kills, really bad. Trading Paint, really bad. Poison Rose, really bad. The Fanatic, offensive.
Yes.
And if we continue into that like era, because it's never really stopped, we've gotten Paradise City, really bad. Die Hard, really bad. Mobland, not as bad. Cash Out. We've covered Cash Out, right? Did I just forget Cash Out?
Yes.
We've covered Cash Out.
We have covered Cash Out.
What was that about? I don't remember Cash Out.
Well, you better remember because we have to cover Cash Out 2 High Rollers soon.
What was Cash... Wait, was Cash Out...
It was the one with the crazy drone shots. It's like Travolta is in the... He's in the bank.
Oh, the bank robbing one.
But like the bank that's clearly just like a small town in Georgia.
Yeah. So like, I guess like in that regard, Travolta's early exploitation era had some okay movies, but then the moment you get to like Speed Kills, Trading Paint, Poison Rose, Fanatic, Paradise City, Die Hard, Mobland, Cash Out, then it's just like fucking dog shit after dog shit after dog shit. Winona's era in this is like, there's a few like pretty decent bits in here.
I agree.
I mean, she's in Black Swan.
She's in Black Swan.
Star Trek. Scanner Darkly. Well,
let's get to it. What's the best movie? What's your favorite movie we talked about in this era?
Black Swan.
I think it's Black Swan, right?
If we're talking objectively, Black Swan. What movie would I watch again? Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek is the most fun.
I'm going to watch Star Trek. It's the most fun.
Black Swan's kind of is the probably the best movie in this era. It's also the one that uses her the most interestingly.
Yes, I think that's what's the best Winona movie in this list? Black Swan, for sure. Because she's actually utilized in it.
Yeah, it utilizes her in an interesting way for her career.
Yeah. And I even think like Scanner Darkly has good utilization.
Scanner Darkly is great.
Yeah.
Scanner Darkly would be like my runner up.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst. Hardest Deceitful.
It's probably the Hardest Deceitful above all things, right?
It's the hardest.
Or, actually, maybe it's The Letter. think it's the latter.
It's hard because one's offensive and one's offensive.
Yeah, I think it's in different ways.
In different ways.
I think it's the latter.
One has a child getting molested twice on camera.
Yes.
And the other is nothing. The other is just nothing. There's no plot. It's James Franco. Underrated, I'm going to say... I mean, would it be crazy to say The Experimenter?
I don't think that'd be crazy.
Only because, like, I've never heard of this movie. And I think it's actually, like, pretty well made. It's, like, it's good. It's got good performances. And it's actually, I like the way it tells a story about it's like a biopic of a guy, but told through an obsession he had or whatever. You listened to that episode last week.
Yeah.
That we already covered.
Definitely have not recorded yet because
the dilemma
I fucked up.
I think I just had the best time talking about the dilemma.
Was there like a real nice episode.
It was a nice episode.
But good discussion had about like the making of that movie.
Yeah. What's your underrated?
I mean, Experimenter probably fits that. I want to shout out When Love Is Not Enough for being like a Hallmark movie that actually was kind of good.
Yeah, I was almost tempted to say When Love Is Not Enough, only because like hey, Winona Ryder and Barry Pepper, they're
good now.
They're doing good things on screen, but it is very Hallmark.
Yeah.
So
now clearly the Darwin Awards. No,
my God, you mean that student film of a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Like think about the Darwin Awards to Experimenter and production value.
Oh my lord, the
leap we took.
The leap, yeah.
In this era.
It's crazy. Yeah. I wasn't as big of a fan of Frankenweenie as you and Savannah might have been.
I like Frankenweenie.
I didn't think it was that good. I didn't pay attention to it much at all.
Praise to New Orleans. May your streets be wide and crime rates fall. Something like that.
So, yeah.
But,
that was very good, though.
The real arc of this is like truly a...
catastrophic fall. Oh, like, lost soul.
This is quite a rebuild.
Yeah, quite literally a rebuild.
Because like so many of the like when we talk about Fraser or Travolta, they didn't really have to rebuild their career. Fraser more so than Travolta, but Travolta kind of just got lucky that Tarantino was like, I want to bring Travolta back, and it worked.
Well, I think
Fraser like he did put the work in like. He's in, like, Doom Patrol. He's in that Hat Coy's show.
Well, something I wanted to point out is their beginnings.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah.
Travolta and Winona, similar. They start young, and they get an explosive first hit movie, and then they're fucking bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Winona was able to stretch out that early career success longer than Travolta could. Because I think Travolta, it's like, he explodes Saturday Night Fever, does Urban Cowboy, does Grease... then does Blowout and then like nothing. That's like four movies where he's like really good at as like a 19, 20, 22 year old. Winona, it's Lucas, Square Dance, Beetlejuice, 1969, Heathers, Great Balls of Fire, Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael, Edward Scissorhands, Mermaids, Night on Earth, Bram Stoker, Age of Innocence, Little Women, The Crucible, Alien Resurrection, Girl Interrupted, like... That's Lucas was what 1980, like, but just think of the amount of years and movies that I just mentioned.
Yes,
she is big from the mid 80s. I think Lucas is like 85 or something, somewhere around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Girl Interrupted is 92.
No, Girl Interrupted is 99
because then. Mr. D's is 2002. So that's 14 years.
Yes.
Of really good work. Yep. She did like Great Balls of Fire and Celebrity in between and Boys. But all that to be said, like she's still like, she has like a very, very great like beginning run as opposed to Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Fraser, his beginning, he has to like drudge it through.
Yeah, he's digging through the ditches.
He's a background actor in Child of Darkness, Child of Light, gets one line in Dogfight, leads his first TV movie, Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Encino Man, School Ties, $20, Younger Son-in-Law with Honors, Airheads, and the Army of the Scout, yeah. Past Darkly Noon, Glory Days, Now and Then, and Mrs. Winterbourne, Twilight of the Gold, Still Breathing, and then George of the Jungle, Gods yeah. and Monsters, Blast from the Past. He has to wait a while. It's like he has to wait a while and do a lot of movies that while he's still in the lead, they're very like,
yeah,
that classic mid-studio tier budget movies that we've talked about before.
But I really do feel like if you just isolate like the comebacks.
If you isolate the comebacks.
Like Fraser and Travolta's comebacks are kind of like.
Quick.
Winona, it feels like she has to work for it. Like she has to go back and do student films.
Yeah.
And then she has to do super low budget indies. And then she has to play supporting roles in bigger movies.
Yeah.
And then she gets to play bigger supporting roles.
Yeah. It's Pulp Fiction for Travolta, then White Man's Burden. Shorty, Broken Arrow, Phenomenon, Michael, She's So Lovely, Face Off, Marriott City, Primary Colors, The Thin Red Line, Civil Action, Alfred Martin, General's Daughter.
But like, think about that, the run for Travolta before Pulp Fiction. And like after he has his career blow up, it's just like rotting for 10 years. That's not like, he's like rotting for 10 years. It's not really an attempt for him to do any comeback.
You talk about the 80s Travolta?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
right. After
Blowout and like Staying Alive.
Yeah.
Like it's not like he's ever really like, there doesn't feel like there's a trajectory for him where he's like trying to build himself back up.
Interesting. Because I thought he was doing a lot of the same stuff that got, because that's where he did Two of a Kind with Olivia Newton-John.
Well, he does that right away and those fail. Once that fails, it kind of just feels like he's rotting.
Yeah,
no trajectory. Like he's doing Perfect, and then he's just kind of fucking.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like Blowout, and then 5 years later, yeah, Perfect.
After Perfect, it's like these basements, the experts, Look Who's Talking, Chains of Gold, Look Who's Talking Two, Eyes of an Angel, Shout, Boris and Natasha, Look Who's Talking Three.
Remember Shout?
Yeah, I remember Shout.
My God,
it's like that. Look Who's Talking is a hit for him. Nothing wrong with that, but like, you don't really feel like there's a like, is what's the goal here,
right?
Whereas when you look at Winona's run, you do kind of feel in some way that there's a goal there.
Yeah, that she has to claw her way back through like student films, like the likes of the Darwin Awards.
Like there's a hunger to be back,
right?
Travolta seems kind of happy like bumming around,
but then like after we cover, so we did Experimental last week. Next week we're gonna do, well, besides the Brothers Fraser movie, which I think that's gonna be, this is something that I keep like hounding in, but like we don't know if Fraser's really gonna have like a major comeback just yet, because I do think like The Whale was fantastic. He wins his Oscar and then he's in a Scorsese movie and like a small role but a good role.
Yes.
But we have yet to see like if Fraser is going to be able to like hold water, like continue to tread water on his success.
Yeah.
Brothers could come out, and who else is in that movie? Isn't Peter Dinklage?
It's Peter Dinklage and Chuck.
It could be a Peter Dinklage vehicle.
Oh, it will.
And
like Brendan's role is like a solid supporting in that.
So then why are we calling this a comeback?
Because it's a big movie that he's in.
Yeah. But again,
but then his next two movies right after that he's lead in the next.
Okay.
Two. Brothers is kind of something like he signed on for around the time of The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
So that and like Killers of the Flower Moon are like pre-Oscar win signups.
I was going to say it's, yeah.
But like, it's a big release comedy and he seems like he's playing a funny role in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would consider it similar in size to like No Sudden Move, kind
of. Yeah, yeah.
But okay. Then right after that, it's like Rental Family is a Brendan Fraser movie.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure is a Brendan Fraser movie.
Mm-hmm. Epcot Candlelight Profession.
Epcot Candlelight, that'll spoil the Christmas episode. For the listener home, tune back in around Christmas for the Epcot Candlelight Processional episode. Stuart, you're in for a real barn burner with that one.
Okay, great.
You're going to get ready for how exciting that episode's going to be.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am going to make you watch the most insane thing you've ever seen.
I've seen some pretty insane shit on this
I'm
show.
I'm
going to
make you sit there with me and watch it while we record live commentary.
In the next retrospective, I do want to take more time to talk about Winona's role in Stranger Things, just because I think that's when this is, again, like Stranger Things is past this point that we're referring to. So I think when we go to the next retrospective, we'll actually be able to dive into like
because we kinda,
the context and pretext of Stranger Things.
Because we talked a decent bit this episode about like the beginning of Stranger Things and how like it doesn't, like what we hope that it would do. And then we're going to learn what that it doesn't. But then when we get to that retrospective, we'll be able to kind of like chart these movies within the Stranger Things chronology. Like which seasons are they filmed between?
Yeah.
I think this era, like she rebuilds herself and it is like an impressive thing to watch.
Yeah.
But you just really want, you're like, it sucks that she had to like do this, that she has to be in shit like the Darwin Awards.
Well, it's the classic IMDb thing where you look at, okay, when was her next lead movie role? And you see this movie, Gone in the Night, which has a really cool poster, and you click on the movie and then you see its IMDb rating. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, you're like, oh, damn.
God damn it. And then Beetlejuice, which, like, again, we'll
be talk. Very fucking careful.
It's gonna be fine. It'll be fine.
Be very fucking careful.
I have nothing else to say. I'm done.
I think we've basically summarized this era.
Yeah.
So thank you all for listening to this retrospective. Be sure to tune in. Be sure to turn in next week. Tune in next week. Because we're gonna take a little break from Winona. Because Brendan Fraser just had a movie come out this past weekend. It's true. Which, as we all know, is called Brothers, starring Peter Dinklage and Josh Brolin and Brendan.
Yes.
I'm hoping that it's good.
I'm hoping that it's good, too.
I'm hoping it's very good.
There's no, like, when does it come out?
It comes out the 27th, so three days before people listening to this episode.
So there's no, they haven't done critic screenings yet.
They have not. But next week, you'll get to listen to us talk about that. Check back in with our guy, Brendan, again. See how he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's good. I'm looking forward to it. Oh my God. It'd be nice to see him again, right?
It will be very nice to see him again.
But then right after that, we're back into Winona for the final stretch. We'll be talking about Destination Wedding. We'll be joined by Cole Bradley for that one. Her and Keanu back again in their final of four appearances together.
Crazy. You think they're done?
I mean...
I think they got more in the tank.
I think they have more in the tank. I think there should be like three more of them.
I think there should be three more Winona Keanu movies.
Yeah, I think there will be.
They're technically married.
And we will force Cole to do every single one of them.
Yes. Sarah Cooper, Everything's Fine. The fuck?
Yeah, we do have to talk about Sarah Cooper, Everything's Fine.
I don't know what that is. Gone in the Night.
It's like a narrative comedy special thing.
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, we'll talk about Haunted Mansion.
That grotesque pile of...
Have you seen Haunted Mansion?
No.
I've watched Haunted Mansion.
Is it good?
It's fine, actually.
It's fine.
It's like actually okay.
And then Beetlejuice. Yeah. I'm worried that like we're going to talk about that episode. And I see we have Trina on, which is fantastic.
Yes.
She's going to be a great guest for that. I feel like you and I are going to take different lessons from that movie.
I think we will. I will be.
I'm worried you're going to be like, look at this. Isn't she great? And back. And I'm like.
You know what I'm going to say about Beetlejuice?
That's good.
Look at how cool that like the fucking pot stop motion is.
You like the Tim Burton of that movie.
I love the Tim Burton of that movie.
Yeah. And I don't disagree. Well, later. Later.
And we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this retrospective. Tune in next week for our episode on Brothers. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to whatever platform you're listening on. As a reminder, we're available on Spotify, Podcast, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Pump to our Reddit, @Trevolting, @TrevoltingPod, Twitter, or Instagram, @JeffWSweeney for me on Twitter. And special thanks as always for Rebecca for the graphic design, Michael Van Bodegon Smith for the theme music that's taking you out. Have a great week, folks. See you next time.
Shoo!
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.